welcome to Focus on Education, a podcast from the Center for Educational Practice at Union University's School of Education.
Today is October 29, 2012, and this is Eric Marvin, the director of the Center for Educational Practice at Union University's School of Education. We have a great guest in store today, as Dr. Ann Singleton will be here to share and discuss what she knows for sure about the field of education. Dr. Singleton serves as the Associate Dean of the School of Education and as a Professor of Special Education at Union University. She has been a special education teacher and supervisor and has authored and co-authored a variety of books, articles, and presentations. She was also named as Union University's 2003 Faculty of the Year. As we begin this session today, we're going to hear the words of Dr. Singleton as she shares with us what she knows for sure about the field of education. And then I'll discuss this philosophical statement with her. Here is Dr. Singleton.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate this opportunity to talk about what I know for sure about education. What I know for sure is that good teaching is revealed over time. Even though I am a veteran teacher, it is only in recent years that I have begun to share my philosophy of teaching with my students in every class that I teach. For my philosophy has changed significantly from my earlier teaching experiences. This change in philosophy has moved from a focus on what teachers do to a group of students to how teachers can design a classroom where individual students can learn. A significant presupposition to this transformational endeavor is my learning to trust my students. Learning to trust my students has proven to be a mutually transforming in both my life and the lives of my students. My teaching career began with an overemphasis on controlling the environment of my students and, yes, trying to control the behaviors of my students. Whether the teaching environment was a public school classroom, a children's choir at church, or a college classroom, I was always in control. I spent hours planning what these groups of students would do, when they would do it, and exactly how long it would take them to do it. I had some success with this style, but over the years, I began to understand that teaching needed to be more about my students' learning than about my preference for presentation. In other words, I needed to trust my students more in the learning process. The Message Bible expresses this ability to trust our students and carefully design classes that truly facilitate their learning in Galatians 5:22 through 24. It says, "We develop a sense of compassion in the heart and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely." This translation that we as Christians refer to as the fruit of the Spirit serves as a daily reminder to me to trust my students and plan my classes accordingly. As I have learned to trust my students over the years, my philosophy of teaching has developed into a more informed one. This I know for sure about good teaching. Number one, teaching only takes place when learning has occurred. Number two, a good teacher facilitates the process of learning by using a myriad of practices. Three, these practices can range from an engaging presentation to opportunities that prompt meaningful discussion and student interaction. Four, the emphasis of teaching is all about supporting the student's understanding of the key issues. Five, the best teachers learn from their students and never cease to learn. Because this I know for sure, good teaching does evolve over time.
Well, Dr. Singleton, I appreciate you sharing your statement about what you know for sure about the field of education with us and for being willing to address some related questions.
It's my pleasure to be here, and I do love to talk about teaching and learning.
Thinking about your statement here, you indicate that in what you know for sure about teaching, that it really begins and it ends with this indication that time is a related component of good teaching. And how do you address this idea for someone who is perhaps new to the field of education, that it really does take time to become an accomplished teacher?
I think it is important to know that sometimes enthusiasm that comes with being young and having a calling to teach can really get a career off to a great start. However, with each day of teaching, you want to be aware of what happened in the classroom, what seemed to work, what perhaps needs to be rethought. Here at Union University in our teacher ed program, we do emphasize reflection, helping us to think deeply about what has occurred in the classroom. We know that life is a journey in general, and so by reflecting upon what we do in the classroom gives us an opportunity to think about what our students need, what were our goals for the day, what were the strategies that we used, and be willing to change things over time as it becomes revealed to us what good teaching is.
And you know, you also indicate that trust, along with time, that trust really is a big component of how and why your philosophy of education has changed over time. And I believe that many educators would agree that it does take a level of trust to move from perhaps a teacher-centered classroom to one that is much more student-centered. What are some practical ideas that perhaps would be helpful for new teachers who perhaps want to trust their students more? How can they make this happen?
I do find that perhaps at first teachers may want to trust their students, but due to a society that perhaps doesn't value learning as much as we want students to value, they come to us with an inability to know how to learn. So for new teachers, structure has to be a big piece of what is going on in the classroom. How much structure is imposed upon the students, I think, does depend on the students. Do they come from educational homes where they want to learn? Are they used to showing respect and a civility among their family members? Or do they need more structure for them to learn these basic practices? But the more structure that you feel in the classroom simply will allow you to meet the needs of individual students. So after the structure is established, that is a time when teachers can step back a bit and start looking at the individual students and what do those individual students need to learn.
And continuing this idea of trust and the importance of trusting students, what are some of the roadblocks that perhaps would be faced by teachers?
I think time and the lack of it would be the biggest roadblock. We do have these standardized tests. We have standards that we need to teach. We have many aspects of teaching that are only related to the content that have to be taken care of. So I think if we could just relax a bit and know that we have time, and how can the time be used efficiently, and focus on students and what students really need to learn, not on all the factoids that are a part of our content, but what are those key central ideas that can be taught. Fewer topics, perhaps in depth, will give us a time where our brains can actually process information, do something a little bit more in depth than just spout back facts.
You know, in your philosophical statement as well, you reference Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And could you expand on the role that the fruit of the Spirit has in your role as an educator?
Yes, I think the fruit of the Spirit is telling us that because we are all made in God's image, that we all deserve to be treated with respect. But how does that look like in a classroom? There's a phrase that we use for classroom leadership that involves the phrase friendly but businesslike. Friendly in that we want students to know that we care, but businesslike, helping us know that we are in the business of teaching and that there is a content that has to be taught. The fruit of the Spirit simply gives us descriptors to help us know how to be friendly and at the same time businesslike. Never mean, never sarcastic, and never hateful. And at the same time, following the rules of the classroom, sticking to our routines and procedures, all in order that we can learn more about God's creation.
You know, I think a lot of people, whether in the field of education or perhaps outside of this given field, would say that, well, learning occurs when teaching occurs, and they make this level of conclusion. But you make a valid point here in your statement as well, that teaching only takes place when learning has occurred. Can you explain this idea?
Yes. I have this one example that always comes to mind about one concept that I was teaching to a group of students. It's the concept of planning a lesson. Planning a lesson is very intricate. It's very complex. We have long goals we're trying to achieve, daily objectives we're trying to achieve. There's also good questioning that has to occur. We want to assess. We want to have our materials. This whole complexity of a lesson plan is hard for beginning teachers to understand. I found myself with a presentation that I thought was fairly interesting. I had some amusing anecdotes that I liked to tell. There was an active learning piece with a thumbs up and a thumbs down. And it was about a 45-minute presentation that I thought unpacked this complex process of lesson planning fairly well. And afterwards, the assignment for my students would be to, in fact, plan a lesson. And when I got back the lesson plans from these students, having heard my presentation, I was always amazed at how far off these lesson plans were from what I thought I would receive. As I began to learn more about how our brain functions, how our Lord designed our brains to be curious, to need to know the end before we begin a project, how visuals are clarifying, I decided to back off that presentation and provide my students with a couple of examples of how important planning is, and then I gave them some examples of some well-planned lessons. The lesson plans my students wrote in response to that learning experience, they were much better than the original presentation. So I finally began to understand that even though I might enjoy a presentation, I might have worked very hard on the presentation. What needs to happen is to connect with our students in a way that their learning is what is supported, not my preference for a style of presentation. And once that happened, it began to just open up a whole new world for what else can I do in my classes. As I think about other concepts I want to teach, those important ideas that I want my students to take with them to the classroom, I began to think more deeply about how I could provide a more student-centered approach than the teacher-centered.
And you know, you also say here that teaching is about supporting the students' understanding of the key issues. And why is something such as support for student understanding more important than content delivery?
When students need to understand something that will last, and sometimes we find in education that we teach a lot, we present a lot of information that is forgotten. We just want to make sure that they understand it in a powerful way so that they will know this information, can take it with to the classroom, and it becomes a part of them. It's not something they have to actually think about in a separate way. It becomes a part of who they are, and there has to be a deep understanding for these concepts for that to occur.
And you know, you also indicate that the best teachers really do learn from their students and never cease to learn. What is it that you have really learned from your students?
Well, as the example earlier about trying some new strategies, trying a new philosophy, if you would, and then stepping back and receiving what my students are telling me, when they turned in those lesson plans that were so much better written than in the past, I had to stop and think that this is what good learning looks like. In addition to strategies, though, I've had students respond to my style of teaching in a way that has helped me understand the relational piece of teaching. As a Sunday school teacher in my local church, where I taught Sunday school for adult people with retardation and autism, I had one poignant memory of a day when a student said to me in Sunday school, a statement that was very unexpected, and yet to this day I still remember the incident. I was teaching a Sunday school lesson and was in my teacher mode. I had my small groups planned. I had the Bible open to the scripture. I had some visuals and was very busy in my getting everything done. And on this particular day, an adult student with low cognition, very low cognition, in the past would simply use some verbiage that he had been taught from his religious parents. I'm praying to a God Almighty and that Jesus is there and we should listen to Jesus and never really get into the meat of anything. One day we bowed our heads, and when this gentleman began to pray, rather than the usual biblical verbiage that he had memorized throughout the years, he actually said, "Dear Lord, bless Miss Ann, she needs you so." And on this particular day, when I was overcome with my efficiency at being a teacher, I was reminded that sometimes we need to be a teacher more than just act like one.
Well, certainly your passion is something to be respected, and we do appreciate the heart that you put into education, as it really does speak volumes about the level of quality and the level of characteristic that you bring to the field of education. And I'm certain that that is something that is widely respected and widely appreciated by your students as well. And I really do want to thank you for taking the time to be a part of this podcast today, and for the impact that you've had on the lives of so many students over time as well. You've certainly offered a great level of insightful ideas, and demonstrated the way in which you truly are an accomplished teacher. And so I'm confident your perspectives will be well received by our listening audience as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Eric.
This has been the Focus on Education podcast. Visit uu.edu/centers/edpractice to learn more about the Center for Educational Practice and Union University's School of Education.